Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good evening, my beloved light family. It's very, very nice to join you this evening for this hour, and appreciate all of you that are new to this hour. Those that have been with me for many years now, we feel like a family together, but those of you that are new, welcome. And so I've got your questions in front of me that have been sent to me very kindly by our beloved Sister Hong An, who's the moderator for our forum. And it's on schoolofarcana.org in case you have any questions about some of the teachings and so on that come up during these hours. You can always speak to others. Some of them have been with me for over 10 years. And it's on the schoolofarcana.org. And there are two forums for you to take a peek at that you can join. So my brothers and sisters, I have a few short announcements and then we will start right in. We are in our countdown for AppliedMysticism.com to go into their third month, and we are also on a very important countdown for Academy of Alchemy to start on the 1st of October. And I actually just this morning spent most of it with Rogier, who is our video producer, and went through in detail the first month of the Academy of Alchemy. And it was written in a state in which I wrote basically a book of over 300 pages in a week, handwriting it, when the angels were giving me this information. The Academy of Alchemy's protocols and teachings and way to leverage consciousness is from the angels. So it is angelic alchemy. And I was just, again, so impressed with the integrity and exquisite perfection of the work that we have been receiving, my brothers and sisters, not only from the God Kingdom on AppliedMysticism.com, and by the way, it restarts on the 1st of November, but Academy of Alchemy is right around the corner, and it starts on the 1st of October. And, of course, it comes from the Angelic Kingdom. We also would invite you tonight. We will be playing for you two sound elixirs. And I've just checked with John. He's got them handy. And they're actually to give you a little taste of our 18 sound elixirs. If you go to angelsoundhealing.com, you can see exactly how they work. But why we have had, oh, my gosh, what a gratifying deluge of people writing into us to tell us about the wonders of it. We had the owner of Sedona Talk Radio contact us to tell us that he heard one elixir, and he was so filled with energy the next day that he wanted to order all 18. And currently, they're only available as a set of 18, and they're only 99 cents each, so they're about $18 for 18 elixirs. But what they have with them is a sound healing to be done, which is, as far as we know, the only sound healing or the only technology available that actually counteracts the nanotechnologies that have been placed in our soil, in our air, in our water. And I've spoken about them on previous shows. If you go back 2 weeks from tonight's show, you will find that I do a double whammy on that one. I have given a full 1 hour on Station 1 on the Crocliffs, and on Station 2, Alan Steinfeld, who has become just a very dear friend, was interviewing me also on Crocliffs in Wiltshire, and the messages that they're giving us about these technologies that have infiltrated not only, particularly, but not only humanity, but the cosmos per se. So the sound healing elixirs and also the individual sound healings that we make for you, which is something completely unique for every single person, and we receive it straight from the infinite. The words are in the infinite's language. The music is Well, you can hear one of them. There's a sample on the store of that you find on the schoolofarcana.org. And our beloved sister Chloe, who's the dean of the Academy of Alchemy, has given permission that her elixir be able to be sampled there, so you can hear roughly what it is that somebody received as their personal elixirs. This is our only technology available that works with white light and black light combined in equal measures to remove illusion by canceling one another out. And we have had these technologies used against us through the HARP facility, through various mind control population control programs that use the subliminal black light that one cannot detect. And the sound is used by HARP to affect people's emotions. And when Paul and I started, Paul is our sound producer, when we started creating these 18 elixirs, the effect was so powerful, as it is for your personal elixirs, that we can only do a batch at a time, and then we have to pause because our bodies are detoxing to such an extent. So take a look at angelsoundhealing.com. We really feel that it is something that virtually every show, if you hear me mentioning it, it's just that unique, my brothers and sisters. So, okay, we've got our announcements out of the way. So, to begin, we have had, my gosh, where to begin? I've got lots and lots of comments here from you and questions. So, let's look at Nancy from Arizona. Greetings, Almi. Thank you for Carnish Belvaspitar. Now, for those of you that are new to this, this Belvaspitar is a healing modality, and you can read about it on belvaspitar.org. And belvaspitar.org will explain to you that Belvaspitar is a gift of healing given from the infinite to compensate for dramatic changes and cosmic polar shifts that have taken place since 2006. Many and most healing modalities have altered in how effective they are or how effective they've become. This healing method of Belvaspitar has spread worldwide. There's a global board that sits on it as a board to regulate its quality control. But Belvaspitar has produced so many miracles that by word of mouth, it is spreading all over the world. Carnish Belvaspitar is the Belvaspitar of enlightenment. And so she says this. She said, recently I did Carnish for a friend, and as soon as I did the last sigil, she noticed an uncontrollable sweet taste running down her throat. And she says, I remember reading about it in Journey to the Heart of God. And it's in where we speak in Journey to the Heart of God about the immortality of man. And in that, we speak of a sweet-tasting fluid is excreted in the back of the throat. When you go into the second phase of immortality, the sweet-tasting fluid is excreted in the back of the throat, and what she wants to know, she says, this was all I could find out about it to let her know what was going on. You may have gone into more detail about it in another book, but I'm wondering if you could explain more about this sweet fluid and its purpose. Well, my precious, nice to hear from you again, Nancy. And Nancy is awfully pretty, beautiful, beautiful blonde sister out of Arizona. And my beautiful one, here is the issue. That is, in fact, the only book in which this is mentioned. The Egyptians were very aware of it. And you see it in some of the libraries that are in Egypt. Now, you know, whether they're libraries that are available to man, I don't know whether they're in there, but we have found these images in the hidden libraries of Egypt. And there's one, for instance, at the Upper Nile and one at the Lower Nile and so on. And it explains that it's when the two serpents become one. And when they become one and the energy rises from the coiled serpent at the base of the spine, this is now the Egyptians' way of describing it, and then I will certainly share with you what my interpretation of it is. I have had that very, very distinctly when I was in the phase, which is the second phase of immortal mastery, where the body goes into immortality, and many of the students that have gone into that same phase have encountered the same thing. So, the bottom line of it is that the Kundalini has been depicted as a coiled serpent sleeping at the base of the spine. The Ida and Pingala, the Pingala and the Ida are the masculine and feminine that, like a DNA strand in two etheric channels, move on either side of the spine, all the way to the top, above the pineal gland. When the Kundalini rises, and the Ida and Pingala combine and become one with it, they form a unified field. And this is basically the immortality of the body that you go into. When that happens, the life hormone is excreted. In drawings, you see two serpents going up and their heads are pointing downwards towards the pineal, and you can see the drops coming out of their mouth into the pineal like the Holy Grail. So this is the pineal is the Holy Grail that receives the impulse to, from them to start producing the life hormone. Until that is the case, the death hormone is produced. It creates a sweet honey taste in the back of the palate. It excretes out of the soft palate behind the hard part behind your teeth. And that is a very important area that mystics work with. My brothers and sisters, I never know what I'm going to be assigned by the infinite, but my sincere hope is that I can, by the 1st of next February, have written the mystical practices that I've not ever really had the time to speak about, but they have to be based on the new and changing cosmic laws. Because much of what I've practiced in the past, for instance, the way that I used to teleport, has become totally obsolete because of changing laws in the cosmos. So my hope is to produce that for the I Am Institute, the Institute of Applied Mysticism, which you can see on its website, appliedmysticism.com. Currently, it is, of course, running the science of immortality and incorruptibility. But my hope is to produce a course for it that studies these particular mysteries, how mystics actually move in and out of the realms, how they work with time. For example, the back of the palate, that soft palate, is very, very important when you need a boost of energy. The tip of the tongue is placed into that back palate with some pressure. And what it does is it stimulates the release of energy like a capacitor. A capacitor is like a water jug that you hold under the tap, and it produces water when you need it later on. Because the jug is full, the pineal gland is a capacitor. And we have, in fact, worked with the pineal gland to produce bolts of energy out of the hands. And my very dear friend, Dr. Lawrence Johnston, who is a doctor that works with energy healing, he has actually measured those bursts that come out of your hands when you heal, and he has concluded that they have the equivalent voltage of a heart defibrillator. To produce a burst of energy like that, movement of the pineal gland has been done to get the water, the energy, out of the jug. The tip of the tongue in the soft palate can also stimulate the pineal gland to release such a burst of energy. These are mystical techniques. You know, I can write many books on those because that was my life during these last years and before. So that is really what we're dealing with, because there's a connection between the pineal and the soft palate. Your friend has clearly, from Cornish Belvaspita, which uses the principle of proxy to put the client, in this case your friend, in the debt of the cosmos. The cosmos repays with increased consciousness. It is the most profound way to raise consciousness rapidly. When my classes gather, and we've got a few left till the end of the year, our Colorado one's coming up, and then we've got a Curacao one and two in my home, and that's it for this year. But when my students gather at my classes, we are given information that we need to work with during that time. I can't give you a curriculum under normal circumstances. I know we've prepared a very interesting one, actually, because I received it from the Infinite for the cruise in January. And you can go to funintheone.com to take a peek at that. But my brothers and sisters, normally I have no curriculum, because the Infinite gives us work to do. We do the work. We make ourselves the pivot points for the cosmic life at that time of gathering, and we leave the cosmos in our debt, and the result is enormously increased consciousness. Cornish functions on the same way. Cornish, the word literally means holy consciousness or holiness, depending on which language you are looking at. So just wanted to share that with you. And actually, I need a drink of water here, and so what I'm going to do is to ask my friend Don, our station manager, if he will be kind enough to play the Joyful Dragon, which is one of our 18 sound elixirs that could cause some detox symptoms. Just be aware of that. I hope that it doesn't lose some of its tones in translation through the radio, but if it doesn't, then you will be finding yourself detoxing from it. Welcome back. We hope that you liked that. And those are produced with an incredible amount of input from the infinite and with much love by Paul Downs and myself. And we'll have time for one more later on in the show. But my brothers and sisters, I want to talk about a few other people's questions here. And the next one comes from Raina, R-A-Y-N-A. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And Raina says, I felt you working with me in my dreams the other night. I was reading some of your books before going to sleep. And then in my dream, I felt an intense feeling of your presence and felt our higher selves were communicating and doing some work together. However, I'm not sure what exactly took place. Now, was this real? Did you do dream work or was it just a dream? And if it was real, what exactly was going on? I would really love and appreciate your insight into this. Thank you. Right now, the only reason I am giggling, my precious, is that you cannot imagine how hard I work at night. It's nothing compared to the day. The day is nothing compared to the night. And usually in any given class, if you ask the new people that have come in, how many of them were either called by me in the dream, saw me in the dream, or heard my voice prior to meeting me, or had extraordinary experiences like that, most of them will raise their hands. Because in every instance, the people that come to my classes just know they have to be there, either from those dream experiences or not. So, yeah, I'm a busy bee at night, so I can absolutely assure you that I do dream work now. Let us ask exactly what it is that took place the night that this dream happened for you, and I would have to ask the infinite so that there's no guessing on my part. And there is a memory that sits back there, but I am often working several places at once at night. So let me just ask directly so that we don't even have to guess. Isha yesh nech paskava. Ikyeh ta husach. Isha yasa yekieta. Nuhba unesh. Stiavich. Vechva vish ikyeh nasu payeh. There were three discordant tones heard in the cosmos. Apparently, I came to get you, and jointly we searched for the causes of these three tones that were discordant. Peyehina usehya tashai, sinahiyehye kaunesh, paustavech inesh, ustava binechpanish. Where there are three discordant tones or any discordant tone, innocence is disrupted. One is pulled out of the moment into the next, and linear time develops. The infinite particularly wants me to say that because even though many of you know that, there are people that have joined us for the first time tonight that need to understand this. Mechpech kahunesh. Three were indeed found. Payeshach, useseyanach, heshve, eska, inechvarus. One that was found to be the cause of obsoleteness is faithfulness. The concept of faithfulness is a distortion of what I am. These are the infinite's words. Pech kayu. Ishai sechve, enech yasva, eshbaunech, pehenech asa. So too is loyalty not possible. For there is nothing static that exists, and life is a spontaneous unfoldment. Mishpe yayashach, Yasuch ekyesha, sinach pevechka ushvanech. So too are promises and contracts and agreements. They are mostly just an indication of intent and for clarity of joint purpose. But life changes moment by moment so that it is not possible to foresee the future. Peyechna suavech kava. Many have carried promises with them that have been like a ball and chain. Epishayichnesa suachivi aya. Around their feet they have had to drag along. Faithfulness to a cause, to a group, to anything is also not possible. Neither is loyalty. Everything changes moment by moment by moment. In that changing, there is yet a changelessness. But it has nothing to do with attempts to chiach kietu usach, with an iron fist to control peyeshach usechnasa peinachya ekieva, the illusion of relationship. Well, my sister, Reina, thank you, my darling, for helping us find that, because every step of the way that we can get rid of these obsolete notions assists us to go forward with more clarity and more purity. And many of the oracles have written to me and said how quickly and effortlessly they are getting what they need to get. Now, we have a letter from Diva Priya from Italy. A few days ago, and by the way, very, very nice to hear from you, my sister. A few days ago, during a group healing experience, a friend of mine fainted and had the vision of an evil entity stabbing her chest with a black knife. She came back shaken and couldn't move for quite a while. Was it a real attack from a dark force, and why was she attacked? Again, I will have to be asking the infinite this one. It just is quicker for me than having to, you know, I would have to take time out of the show to be able to see this. Sheyach, Isa Uta. Many have walked around with weapons in their body from those who are of the subliminal light, the black light. Peyechna usichvaskavahiye icha achva echbe iska. Kiu anas peshechnasu chikiavaspa in iya ukiechve. The infinite is saying that there are only two ways to get rid of such black light weapons that would eventually, in the physical, erode the area of the heart. If it is, for instance, in the heart, it would erode the area and it would cause heart disease. There are two ways to get rid of this. And my brother, sister, just before I translate that bit, let me just make this quite plain for those of you that are new to this information. We use black light and white light in the personal sound elixirs, which we currently have on a special price for a few weeks longer at least. And the black light and white light is balanced. If I don't get it right, the infinite tells me to do it over. I receive every individual melody and every overdub of melody from the infinite directly. I take a dictation. And if you go to our Almin Wisdom Twitter, you will see comments by our producer, Paul Downs, on the experiences we have, and I believe he has a photo of what happens when this takes place. So the other thing then that I want to just explain is if it is not balanced, for instance, if the dark lord puts a knife of dark light into your heart, you will definitely feel it like a stab. But of course it won't kill you because you're white light. But it will erode you unless you have a stronger light than the knife and the intent that put it there. So the infinite is saying there are two ways to get rid not only of the nanoorganisms of our planet, but injuries and things like this that are stuck in you. I once had a Native American put a black feather in my third eye. I've had a group in south of I won't say the religion, but it's an Eastern religion, south of Toronto, put an arrow into my forehead. They definitely do this, especially if they don't want you to use your third eye to see what they're doing. So the infinite is saying that either you have to gain so much light that it far exceeds what the onslaught is of the backlight, then you start to erode it instead of it eroding you. And in the Institute of Applied Mysticism's course, the entire first month for those students that have enrolled in this course, currently we have 250 of them that have enrolled, for the entire first month, my brothers and sisters, the Institute, the entire curriculum that we received in the form of 144 illuminations from the God Kingdom speaks only of the illusions of our life. It is a peeling away and a peeling away and a peeling away. The reason is to rapidly increase the white light because of the sacred methods that are given to reach immortality and incorruptibility that comes later on in the course. You can rapidly increase your light by shedding illusions, by cutting the ties of the past, by cutting any association that the past is real. It is nothing but a dream. And so, my brothers and sisters, you either have to raise the light or you have to use a sound elixir. And as I said, I mean, the 18 elixirs, which is for general use, it's for use on others as well, they're only $18. And so, but your personal sound elixir is yours for life, and it will always balance the white and the black light, and it will shift as reality shifts because it isn't done by me. It's done by the infinite. All I do, as I write all my books, is take dictation. I have written 25 books now since January by hand, all of them over 250 pages, all of it information I didn't know. That can only be done when you take dictation. Your sound elixir is prepared that way. So the infinite is saying either you have to use these tools in which the white and black light are balanced, or you have to dramatically increase your white light to erode the black light that has invaded you. So what happened during this healing experience is that your friend was able to remember and know that this had happened to her. It looks to me like it happened in 2005, my sister, and she would have had a sharp pain in her chest. I can see her sleeping and waking up with a fright, with a sharp pain in her chest. And this is when that knife was put in by a Dark Lord, hoping to create a heart attack at some point or heart disease. And so it was a remembrance of that. The presence of particularly yourself in the healing method raised the light high enough to erode that knife out of her heart. And as it was removed, yet again, the healing took place, and the knife is no longer there. So the only thing left, though, is there's a memory in the area that it's there. Diva Priya, I believe that I made you a sound elixir, my beloved sister. It is specifically for you, but if you have the 18 sound elixirs, you know, we're playing two tonight, but my concern is that we may not have the full tonality because of it being played over the radio. I don't know. It is just preferable to buy it directly offline, but it will remove the memory of trauma by black light. So that would be the next step for her, but you did get rid of that knife. So let's take a look at, let me see, Christy from Ohio. Christy, you say here you saw a video of a woman who had lived in an institution for 5 years. When she came out, she didn't look the same and was drained of life force. How does the mental institutions relate to the microcosm, macrocosm level? Christy, I cannot even tell you. Every time, my sister, it's almost beginning to be funny. Every time you open your pretty little mouth, my precious darling, out comes the most profound thing that I exactly have to know that day. So that's why when you're in my classes and you relate your dreams, I always ask you to write them down, because I want to study every single detail. This is exactly the answer I have needed to know. In the last few days, I have felt drained of energy. I have felt exhausted. I never get tired. I mean, you know that. When I'm in the road with my brothers and sisters, I work through my lunch, through my party breaks. I work through the class, and then I go to my room, and I work till 1 or 2 in the morning. Then I get up at 6, and then I work again. And I keep that up, and I'm not particularly exhausted. I mean, normally it feels like I'd like to have a little bit of time, but in the airplane, I write again all the way home. So the bottom line of it is, for me to be tired is unusual enough that I haven't been able to figure what is going on. We have, after our experience in New York, gone through such a massive shift of consciousness. We have come out of a flat television screen upon which we were, a two-dimensional reality. We have come out of it, and we have gone into a 3D virtual reality. Let me explain to you how this was done. The groundwork was laid through the phenomenal work that my class did in New York. My deepest respect and gratitude to them. Most of them were new, but you know, some of the masters have traveled from all over to be there. So they laid the groundwork. A few days ago, all of a sudden, I decided that I wanted to look at a crop glyph that is in the fields, and I believe that Paul has put this on Almin Wisdom Twitter. The crop glyph that is the Pleiadian musical key that appeared in Wiltshire in 2007 in the summer. And if he hasn't done that, he's possibly listening, I hope, and then he'll do it for us. But I'm pretty sure he's got it on Almin Wisdom Twitter. This musical Pleiadian key, I knew would unlock something. So I took a look at it, and I said to Paul, you know, sometime I should unlock this melody that this key stands for. This is how they write a piece of music. I've seen this before. Well, immediately I had a totally inflamed sore throat, which means that I get that when I don't do what I need to do verbally. I said, oh my gosh, I'm terribly sorry, Paul. I know it's night, but I'm going to come over there and I'm going to sing this. And I asked my little girl if she would mind, and, you know, because we are next to each other in the two houses and it was still light, but I went next door and sang this Pleiadian song. It knocked me for such a loop. I couldn't hardly stand up. I thought I was going to faint. It felt as if my entire stomach turned upside down. It felt as though my head was opening wide. And when I asked, what did this just do? And he's still putting it together, because, I mean, a few days later, we received one from Antares. And today, we got one from Sirius C. And from the mer people on that planet. Well, what happened is that it unlocked the two-dimensional existence. We have been in contraction, or we have been in expansion. That's a flat disc. That's a flat, round piece of all it is. If you look from the top, it looks like you have something really real, but it's on a flat television screen. This unlocked the depth of life. It set us free from being only in a two-dimensional reality. I want to play for you not any of these Star Brothers songs, because I know Paul is still working on them, my brothers and sisters, but what I would like to play for you is the Merpeople song that they gave me, and Paul has assisted with this. He's, of course, the producer of this exquisite music and composed the background music, but the music that they gave me is called The Song of the Sirens. It's one of our 18 elixirs, and it's part of the sound healing program that you can find and use. It's for free, the sound healing program. When you get these elixirs, you can do it. And it's on angelsoundhealing.com. So I'll ask that we now have the song of the sirens, or the call of the calling or call of the sirens.
Yeah.
I just want to finish the question that Christy from Ohio has given us. And by the way, I hope you enjoyed the elixir that we've just played for you. The reason we call it an elixir, my brothers and sisters, is that it uses the alchemical potencies of sound to become a powerful piece of technology, but not in the old hard way, in the joyful, playful way of music. So, Christy from Ohio, this issue of for 5 years being in an institution, and that when she came out she didn't look the same and was drained of life force, how does the mental institution relate to the microcosm, macrocosm level? So, Angel, just to finish what we were talking about before, 5 years ago, and it's really technically 5 years on our incorrect calendar, number one. Number two, it will be 5 years, the beginning of February 2010. But for the last 5 years, something very, very unique has happened that I didn't know about until I received it, actually, while you were listening to the song. So I want to share with you what that is. The Infinite is saying that prior to, if you recall, I've told my story how on the last day of January in 2005, up until that time, I'd worked as a Toltec Nagual, working with small groups of apprentices that I assisted to lead out of identity consciousness. Up until that point, that is all I did. Then I had an incredible experience where I found myself standing before a being who in that instance was a feminine deity, because we were deeply in the dream state and the infinite's feminine is that which, like all of us, does the dreaming. Now the infinite is androgynous, neither masculine nor feminine. But in that time, we were in a screen within a screen within a screen, in a very much of a simplistic way of life, we were in a very deep dream. And so at that point, the infinite gave me instruction to gather the firstborn of creation, those light workers on earth who were the very first created beings in existence, from which humanity came, and humanity over and over again in multiple sources has been proclaimed as the cradle of civilization, the densest of all races from which all other races came. So up until 5 years ago, according to what I've just learned, and I need to just actually bear with me, I may have to repeat some of the words in the infinite's language just to make sure I have it correct. Ishehpa usel, iach nasai ukiyevech kayeneve. Before that time, the infinite did not have an embodiment inside the screens. I am saying, but wait a minute. The infinite told me to write down absolutely verbatim the history of the planet and where it came from the history keepers of the cosmos, which became the second half of the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, which the second half is called The Gift of the Cycles. The History of the Cycles. And there was multiple stories in there of the infinite inside the dream. So I'm asking, what about that? Because it speaks of 18 cycles of life and gives all those histories. And inside those histories, the infinite featured. So what about that, if this was only 5 years ago? Peyehna suh base, ya shkayanese parkuna. Think of it as a placeholder or a schematic drawing. And schematic drawing is not the right word. I'm seeing like a cartoon. Peyeshach usech, like a cartoon, that represents the embodiment of the One Life. Mashuchtasa Ishekiana Husei. It was seen that life would never be more than two-dimensional unless the infinite entered into it. Masehye Ashach. Like an asylum of madness, it was. Ke yeshatuch eyechnasa'u. Also, like an incarceration. Ve yebakatu hanayech sa eshatu nasayavas. For a part of me entered into the screen so that at this time my creations could become more than just two-dimensional. The fatigue felt by the light workers. Yeshichta husichna ma'sa, ikitana ukihna avach, is the exiting of the madness of the television screen into virtual reality. Nechpach kusa, eshich ayasavach. Now all dimensions of life can be experienced. Vishau sehyete. Kiyamanu ayah. 13. In their own good time shall the keys be that come in the form of music, the 13th one from the core of the earth. Peyeh useya nasach iyashka. Esehva kuyeh. The much hard work for the oracles, and for yourself, and the major lightworkers of the planet, on self and others, is over. Piyash, Usei, Nachskava. A momentum was necessary to break free from the screen. Peye ikyach, Usheh nasa. Like the experience of going into the God Kingdom. When one goes into the God Kingdom, my brothers and sisters, it's like going through a shield of glass. It has taken some of my students hours to make it through. It took me 11 hours to make it through, to progress beyond where one is no longer human. Many of you are starting to approach that yourself, and it makes a shattering noise when you break through, and then it feels like you're being pulled through a tunnel, and it feels like the breath is getting squeezed out of your lungs, but of course you're immortal by then, so it doesn't matter whether you breathe or not. But a great deal of grief comes out as sobbing from the lungs, because grief is normally held in the little gaps between your breaths. And that's why some people have had very shallow breathing, because of trauma in their upbringing or childhood. So it is in these gaps that you find the release of trauma. It's this principle that rebirthing techniques use. When you go through a ceasing of breath for a while, and for you, it will be very rapid. It's just the first ones that made it through, which now are numbering in the hundreds of walking around amongst humanity, and it's many hundreds. The first ones that made it through had a harder time. It's now so easy that people hardly know that it happened. And this is what has happened to the cosmos. And so now it is in a 3D world, not just a two-dimensional existence. Robin from Montana asks about the Earth situation with Sirius. And my darling, I want very much to get into that very deeply. The Earth is in has been in polarity with Sirius. It has been terminated like a DNA strand because the Earth was being drained from many watching her like a television show. Because man has been a very key point of interest in creating this polarity with Sirius, which is, as I say, now terminated, it created a free energy device that helped feed the Earth. Now, unfortunately, we're come to the end real quickly here, and so please join me again. This show will rerun on Sunday at 9 p.m. So if you think it is something that your friends would like, please refer them there. It runs on BBS Radio, Station 2, 9 p.m. on Pacific Standard Time. So until next Tuesday, goodbye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.